This is
Good Morning Ottawa. This is The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Ready?
We're live.
We clear?
It's showtime!
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. With fingernails that shine like justice. And a voice that is dark like tinted glass. She is fast, thorough, and sharp as a tack.
And a happy Thanksgiving to you. And like I always say, I'm very cordial, so a welcomesgiving at that. It is 9:07 a.m., 5 degrees, going up to 11. But I think when you add in restoring your faith in humanity, that automatically tacks on at another 10 degrees. And so I was telling you, this is going to happen before the end of the show, but already, as a surprise to me, because I didn't see this coming, even though we do have a kindness pandemic, and I see these sorts of things all of the time. If you missed this earlier on The Goods, a man named Gordon called in, and Gordon said he just needs 4 hours of work on Monday. This is what he needs this month to make things work for himself. He needs 4 hours of work. So I just said, hey, does anybody have 4 hours of work for Gordon? And then Francis calls in off the air. This call comes in just minutes ago. And Francis says, I have $100 that I am going to give to Gordon. So Francis is giving Gordon $100 just like that. And I've said this before and I say it again. If you need help, it doesn't mean that somebody is just going to help you, and especially just give you, a stranger will give you $100, even though on The Goods we've had TVs, laptops, rent, $5,000 amounts and more given out on the show. But it doesn't mean just by asking for help you're going to get it. But what I can guarantee you is that by not asking for help, you won't get any. And when I talk about a kindness pandemic, that's actually a real thing, because kindness is scientifically contagious. I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's a study of science called swarming. And it's kind of like when you think of birds and bees. Birds and bees, they'll act together in unison, not saying to each other, here's the plan, but they just know what to do for the common good of each other. And when we have this kindness pandemic and somebody who needs something gets this offer from a stranger, because that stranger just knows, hey, I'm in a position and this is the right thing to do. And then more people start to realize, hey, I'm in a position like that and this is the right thing to do. And on top of it, it flashes off these neurotransmitters in your brain. And this is not from the Dahlia Institute of Dahlia Research. This is pure science. It flashes off these neurotransmitters in your brain that give you these feel-good hits. And they make you want to continue doing good things. And then people around you want to do more good things. And that is how you start a kindness pandemic. So Gordon, I want to thank Gordon for calling in and having just the bravery to say that he is in a difficult situation and he needs help. And I want to thank Frances for calling in, doesn't want to give any more information than that's her first name, for helping a complete stranger with $100. That means a lot. And you don't even know what that $100 means to Francis. Maybe Francis is a quadrillion octillionaire. Maybe Francis has nothing and that's her last 100. You know, we had $5,000. $5,000. I remember this happened the day it happened, a paramedic's home had burned down a few days before during the pandemic. And I said, is there anything anyone can do to help this woman? And a stranger calls and wants to donate $5,000. Just give her $5,000 to help. Is this because this man is a millionaire? Is this because this man has a lot of money to give? I called him after the show and wanted to talk to him and thank him personally for what he had done. because these calls that we get, they go to Callum and Corey, who are sitting behind the glass over there in our control room. And I wanted to call this man and thank him. And that man who gave the $5,000 to the paramedic was going through one of the worst times in his life. He just lost his wife. He had just gone for brain surgery. It's not like he had $5,000 that he can just hand out, but he just felt like it was the right thing to do. And sometimes when you give $100, it's like giving a bazillion compared to what you have. And sometimes when you give $5,000, it's like giving everything in the entire world. But no matter what, when you give, it does lead to a kindness pandemic. All that to say, before the end of the goods, even more kindness. Also, I've asked you online, and you can go ahead and tweet me at Dahlia Kurtz. You could also join the conversation on Facebook. I said, what or whom are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? Basic question, right? It's almost cliche, but there's a very keen importance when it comes to looking at a question like that, because even when you're not happy, for instance, if you smile, it can start to make you happy. Go ahead, try it. Go ahead. Come on, just do it. There you go. A little bit better, right? And even if you feel like nothing is going your way in life, when you find things and say them out loud that you're grateful for, that's another thing that scientifically, it will make you feel better. And I know this is a tough Thanksgiving. I want you to feel better. So Mark responds to that. He tweets me at Dahlia Kurtz and he says, although there are many issues today, I am thankful every day I am able to look down at the flowers instead of up at them. Over the last year and a half, I have survived heart and stroke incidents. So I am thankful for that, as well. My father is still around too. That's about it. Mark says that. I think that's about enough. Good stuff, Mark. I'm actually very happy to hear that. If you want to see what I'm thankful for, I posted it on my Twitter at Dahlia Kurtz. I'm thankful that I have learned to stop brushing my curls. Oh, yes. Go take a look. You can see what the brushed curls look like. It's so sunny in here that I can't even see the time. It's 9:13 a.m. It's time for your AM eye-opener.
Your AM eye-opener.
So, in news that has been ignored for months.
Fake news.
Well, for a while it was called that. But the CDC has revised its coronavirus guidance to acknowledge that it spreads through airborne transmission. It cited published reports that demonstrated, quote, limited uncommon circumstances, unquote, in which people with the virus infected others who were more than 2 meters away. Now, this is backed by 239 scientists, and they're from 32 different countries. Here's the crazy thing. Why am I talking about CDC information as news in Canada? Because the way this is making news in Canada is by not making news here. Canada's public health agency continues to downplay the risk of airborne spread of coronavirus despite WHO and CDC guidance. This in a country that wrote the 550-page report. Canada did a 550-page report in 2006 that predicted down the line we would have this exact pandemic, and it gave the information as to how to prepare for it. We didn't follow the information as how to prepare for it, and we also didn't follow its warning. We did not heed its warning.
Fake news.
Not fake news, real news. What's even scarier, though, is that you know who the author of that paper was? It was Dr. Theresa Tam. She wrote a paper predicting the coronavirus here in Canada with what we'd need to do and never even heeded its advice. So how much do we trust the fact that we're not heeding the CDC and WHO at this point? The CDC says transmission occurs in poorly ventilated and enclosed spaces that often involve activities with heavier breathing like singing or exercise. And it's much more common for the virus to spread through larger respiratory droplets that are produced when you cough, sneeze, sing, talk, or breathe. And this updated guidance comes after the CDC even mistakenly that was a quote, posted a revision last month until it seemed as though Donald Trump had them take it down because it was, quote, just a draft version of proposed changes.
Fake news.
But it was real news because they finally revealed that, yes, these droplets are airborne. So here's the thing. You still need to wear a mask and physically distance. Still wash your hands. But what changes? Places of business where many people come in and out of every day need to re-examine their ventilation systems. So why hasn't Canada recognized this yet? Because maybe acknowledging it will make a lot of current policies at all levels of government look quite insufficient. So maybe Canada might want to re-examine its ventilation and the people it has examining the health conditions surrounding public health. Now, speaking of messaging that you're getting from our leaders, here's a message you've been hearing a lot for months.
Now is the time to get serious, really.
As much as possible, stay home.
Stay home as much as possible.
Enough is enough. Go home.
Go home.
And stay home.
Stay home. Stay home. You've been told to stay home, save grandma. Yet, the federal government, this is not fake news, is funding a tourism ad that encourages people to bring grandma on a vacation to Niagara Falls. So despite health officials' calls for you to stay home, save lives, a federal government department is funding an ad encouraging you to book a Niagara Falls getaway with grandma. Just don't invite her over for Thanksgiving. So yes, this is a 50-second Niagara Falls tourism spot. A man and his grandmother are shown exploring Niagara Falls, playing skee ball in an arcade, dancing under a gazebo, and touring with a boat, noting that quarantine had kept them apart. And they decided, the grandson says, let's go to Niagara Falls this weekend. What we do is up to you. I just want to be together. And this time, it's not your birthday or a holiday or some special occasion. Because, Grandma, you are my occasion. That's right. It better not be a special occasion because no grandma for Thanksgiving. You can apparently only go to Niagara Falls with her. The commercial is running online and in primetime TV. This ad has been running since at least September 28th. You know, 5 days after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau told you that COVID-19 second wave is underway. Yeah, that's September 28th. And remember when Trudeau said, together we have the power to get the second wave under control? What else is it that he said? Something about staying home?
Now is the time to get serious, really.
As much as possible.
Right.
Stay home.
Stay home as much as possible.
Enough is enough.
Stay home.
Go home. And stay home.
Go home, stay home as much as possible. Go grocery shopping once a week. Only visit pharmacies and banks when necessary. Place orders over the phone or online. Close all restaurants indoors. But the feds want you to vacation in Niagara Falls with grandma. Chief Public Health Officer Dr. Tam, who wants you to have sex while wearing a mask, by the by, says Thanksgiving gatherings this year should be virtual. But go to Niagara Falls with grandma. And as we go through your AM eye opener, because you should stay home and not go to Niagara Falls, let's take you to the movies.
In a world where cat videos and memes rule the feeds, one media company will rise above the noise. This is Great Big Story.
Okay, Red, that was great. Thank you.
You got it?
Yeah, that was great.
Cool.
You can stop speaking like that now, though.
What do you mean?
That media company that's on the rise right now is actually Netflix. And yeah, that voice is Red Pepper. He's the trailer voice you typically hear. Fun fact, you've never seen his face, but you would know those booming bass tones anywhere. But I digress. So in a world where we have a pandemic and people need to stay home, Netflix will be increasing prices for you in the coming weeks. Basic is going to stay at $9.99. Standard will increase to $14.99. And the premium increase is going to $18.99. Remember when Netflix was $8 bucks And I kind of feel like my dad now when he used to tell me about the sandwich with the pickle, with the this, with the that, with the everything that he got for the price of a nickel. And who even knows what a nickel is anymore? When's the last time you touched a nickel? But Netflix Canada is increasing its price, even though it considers Canada a third world country when it comes to its broadband, which is pretty much why you don't get many of the American versions they have there. And they're using this, they're raising the price during one of the worst economic times of our lifetime, which is kind of reminiscent of when Campbell's Soup did that last recession because poor people could only afford cheap food like soup. So they raised their prices then. Remember that? Of course you don't. But here's a fun fact. You might want to try this. So my mom canceled Netflix a couple of months ago because it was already too expensive. And once she canceled it, they came at her with all of these excellent promotions. She told me to do the same so that they'd come back to me and give me a better promotion. But I said, I'm going to wait until the price goes up. And then just when I say that, lo and behold, the price goes up. So I feel like this Netflix price increase is just a little bit of my fault. So now I've got to do something to make you better. So I'm going to give you a good news story that is coming up next. It is 9:22 a.m. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. 5 degrees heading up to 11. It's going to get warmer in here because we're getting a good story. We're also going to restore your faith in humanity before the end of the show, in addition to Francis giving Gordon $100 just because he says, hey, I need some work. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods on 580 CFRA.
Now back to The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Good morning. I'm Dahlia. Before the end of the show for this Thanksgiving edition, we are going to help restore your faith in humanity. I'm also going to introduce you to one of our top chefs, and from feeding prime ministers to now getting food in the mouths of people who need it. Also, Gordon, you called into The Goods earlier. Gordon, can you please call back? 613-521-8255. We've got something special for you. Gordon, please call back. 613-521-8255. And something special that a dad did for his little girl, which you might not get at the beginning why this is so special, but this is pretty cool. So, a determined dad has cycled a staggering 321 kilometers, difficult to be sure, but this shouldn't really be that big a deal for a cyclist as experienced as he, right? Because in fact, prior to the pandemic, he originally planned to cycle 2,000 kilometers from Russia to his home in England. But he was kind of forced to backpedal, as it were, and turn to the drawing board. So why was 321 kilometers so difficult for this fit man? Because over 6 days, Wesley Hamnett pedaled from Glasgow, Scotland to Manchester, England on his little girl's $30 bike with 12-inch wheels. The dad of two had wanted to raise funds for various charities and hospitals which were close to his heart after he lost his granddad to cancer last year. So he decided that he would do this trip from Glasgow to Manchester while riding a comically small bike his two young daughters learned to ride on as a laugh. And after a grueling cycle, which included a 6-hour-long stretch and 8 busted tires, he managed to drag the 12-inch wheels to his home. He says that he wasn't sure if he was going to make it, but even if that bike was going to make it, he felt like he was going to die during certain stretches, but it was all worth it. He endured grueling pain, reached peaks as high as 1,500 meters at a summit in England, which he says this bike, as an understatement, it was not built for that. But he kept pushing because anytime there's an uphill climb, there must be a downhill. And he says that he felt like a little kid when he was going down. He couldn't have stopped even if he tried. It was scary but amazingly fun. And with all of the support he got on this journey home, he has raised more than $16,000 for cancer and heart support and local hospitals. But never, ever again is he going to ride his little girl's bike, and maybe not her because it's probably broken beyond repair. Now, I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. Gordon, we have a surprise for you. Call 613-521-8255. Also, up next, you're going to meet a woman who is picking up our government slack. She says food banking is wrong and it's a sign that we have failed society. We're going to meet her next. It is 9:28 a.m. It is 6 degrees, sunshine, and 11 for your high today. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods on 580 CFRA.
You're listening to The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Hello, happy Sunday to you. Happy Thanksgiving. It's 9:34 a.m. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods. 5 degrees outside, mostly sunny skies, going up to 11 degrees today. Before the end of the show, we're going to restore your faith in humanity. We're also going to get to some of your thoughts I asked you online. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? It's a difficult one. So go ahead and thank that person for whom you're thankful. It doesn't have to be a family member. You can just thank a situation you're in, like Mark, who says, I have survived a stroke and heart problems this year, and I get to live still and have my father who's alive by my side. So what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? Now, what's happened is, for instance, at the beginning of the pandemic, people would call into The Goods when they needed help with something. And we've been able to find people help. I can't guarantee it will happen, but it does. For instance, today, Gordon says that he needs a job. And we're waiting for Gordon to call back, by the way, because Francis wants to give him $100. Didn't ask for $100, but Francis just says, I want to give Gordon $100. And then we have someone call in, a woman named Catherine, and she has an elderly friend who needs a lightweight wheelchair. This elderly friend is waiting for an assessment, but hasn't been able to leave her house, not even to get mail or go for appointments or do anything. So she needs a lightweight wheelchair so that she can push herself with a seat that is maybe 18 by 18 or 20 by 20. And if you want to help this person, if you have a light wheelchair that might be able to help this elderly woman who's unable to do anything really without one, you can call us here, 613-521-8255, and someone else needs your help. And a call came in from Martha in Renfrew, and Martha says that she has a family member who is 64. And she's lived her life with cerebral palsy, and now she just discovered she has stage 4 ovarian cancer. All she wants to do, and the thing is, we've done this before on The Goods for a mom who wanted this, and we surprised her, and Selena, by the way, and it was a beautiful surprise, Celine Comerford. This woman just wants to ride in a Corvette. I don't know if we can make that happen during the pandemic, but now that she's been diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, is 64, has been living her entire life with cerebral palsy. If you think that we can somehow give her a ride in a Corvette, 613-521-8255. But I want to introduce you to someone who says that food banking is wrong and a sign we have failed socially, and how she's picking up the slack for it. And what an interesting time this comes at, because yesterday, it seems as though our prime minister made this same admission. I'm just not sure if people caught on. I'm not even sure if the prime minister himself caught on. But Justin Trudeau tweeted, heading to the store to pick up some things for Thanksgiving dinner? Well, if you're able to consider grabbing an extra item or two for the local food bank and help a family in need this long weekend, let's continue to be there for one another. It's the Canadian way. So Justin Trudeau just asked you to go grocery shopping for people who can't afford to eat because being there for each other is the Canadian way. So if he's acknowledging that we need food banks, he's acknowledging that people are going hungry, he's acknowledging that he's failing at his job. But you know who's picking up his slack? I'll tell you, the woman who's picking up his slack is waiting to speak to you right now. She is the executive director of the Parkdale Food Center. She is Karen Secord. You are like the new age Laura Secord.
Well, she was my great, 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 great aunt.
No, stop it. Are you being serious?
Yeah, serious. Yeah. She was married to James Secord, who, geez, I forget her name. I want to say McGillis or McGinnis, something like that. Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, for real, for true, yeah.
You need to tell us a secret story about Laura Secord. And of course, of all people in this world, Karen Secord is taking over this. You need to tell us a story about Laura Secord that we may not know.
Oh, well, I don't know. My sister would know better because she did the whole history. I know that the Secords came over as Sicards in 1688. And I know that James Secord married Laura. And but I don't know much else except the same thing that everybody else knows about her chasing the cow and telling the British that the Americans were coming. But that's about all.
Way to keep a family secret. I don't believe you, Karen. But you know, wait, does your family enjoy Laura Secord chocolates?
Well, as a matter of fact, we do. And I have over time tried to get free chocolates by showing my driver's license and saying, you know, my aunt was Laura Secord and I really think that I should get a free chocolate here. And every now and then, you know, somebody would give me a free chocolate because really I love chocolate.
Well, because really, you're a human. I could understand that. My favorite growing up was Buttermellow, unless my mother was eating a French mint. And then only because my mom had it and I didn't, that's when I liked the French mint. Okay, we have to get down to business, Laura Secord's cousin Karen. That's how I'm going to talk to you from now on.
Perfect. Yeah.
So what you're doing, you know, I just read that tweet from Justin Trudeau off the top, and this is exactly what you say, right? Food banking is wrong. It's a sign that we failed.
Well, I would say, Dahlia, and I'm sure that none of your listeners would argue with this, that food is a human right. And in Canada, food is, in fact, a human right. And so I actually tweeted Justin Trudeau last night and also Mr. Ford, because the idea that both of them were giving food to food banks yesterday and thinking that they were doing something good is absolutely atrocious. My staff were even emailing me going, I cannot believe that this is happening. Because food banking is a sign, as you said, that there are people in this country that are hungry, that the government has failed them. They have not met their basic need and that they have put this right to food onto charity. And so they're asking me to do their job. They're asking me to do their job. And at a time of pandemic, Ford, if we look at Ford, first of all, Trudeau says he's going to leave no one behind. And then he offers CERB, but only to people who have worked. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't offer it to, like, the people that you've been talking about, somebody with a cerebral palsy, somebody who needs a wheelchair, people who are disabled. He doesn't offer anything to them. So that, of course, is left to the province.
And then the province doesn't do anything for them either. Let's just continue.
No, so the province, Mr. Ford, what does he offer them? He says, we'll give you $100 a month if you go to your worker and you say to your worker, I have been affected. You can prove to your worker that the pandemic has affected you in some way. They'll give you an extra $100 a month. So someone on disability makes $1,169 a month. So Ford says he'll give you an extra $100, and that was just, you know, temporary, if you can prove that you have been affected by the pandemic. So, you know, in March when all of this happened and we told people stay isolated, people who are disabled, they're already, you know, they're probably already living a precarious lifestyle. They're probably already struggling if they're struggling with housing, struggling to get out, trying to use paratranspo. How do they get to a grocery store? It's already hard for them to get to their food bank. Half the food banks in Ottawa aren't physically accessible. And people who are on Ontario Works only make in the $733 a month. So Dahlia, could you live on $733 a month in Ottawa?
You know what? I've even talked about the people in our city who have to live on $0 a month because they're being failed. And so to say, yes, to say 700, 800, how do you do it?
$733 a month is what you get on Ontario Works. So let's say you lose your job, you don't qualify for employment insurance, you know, it's more difficult to qualify, you don't have enough weeks in, so all of a sudden you have to go to what, you know, we might call welfare. And so you go for $733 a month. So now there's a pandemic. You know, you've had to give up your apartment, you have to find a place to live, you're living in a rooming house. And in a rooming house, the issue is there's not, you're not considered an apartment, right? So what happens there is anybody can bring anybody into the house. There's no isolation. And so you're being offered $100 a month too. Chances are you don't have a phone. You probably don't have a computer. You don't have internet. You may not know who your worker is. So those people were really, really hurt. And so there is Mr. Ford yesterday bringing boxes of cans to food banks. You know, can you see the hypocrisy in this?
It's exactly what we've been talking about on The Goods for some time now. And this is the problem that we run into when we have charities, because we rely upon charities and we get complacent in that because we see things happening. And so we forgive our government for not doing anything while our government's taking credit on behalf of the charities. But you have all of these people, whether we're talking about food or shelter or other problems, when it comes to people's basic needs, we're not meeting them. And that's, charity really says our government is not doing the work that they should be doing and not taking care of its people, as they say. If you're just joining us, I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods, and we're having a conversation with Laura Secord's cousin, Karen. She is! She is the executive director of Parkdale Food Center. I want to get to what you're doing on your end to deal with this. It's a great model, and she's a great role model. We're going to continue our chat with Laura Secord's cousin, Karen, next.
Got it.
Now back to The Goods with Dahlia Kurtz on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Good morning. I'm Dahlia. It's 9:49 a.m. And before 11 a.m., we will restore your faith in humanity. Already, by the by, Francis has given Gordon, a perfect stranger, $100 because he called into The Goods and says, I don't have work and I need work on Monday. Can someone please give me 4 hours of work? And Francis, just an angel in the ether, decided to give him $100. Also, continue to share your thoughts online. What are you most thankful for this Thanksgiving? It's a tough one. It's a tough Thanksgiving. And when you find something to be thankful for, I think not only do you make yourself smile, but you make the other people around you smile. So go ahead, and maybe you're thanking a certain person. Or you could be like Drew and thank his cat Momo. Why are there so many cats named Momo and no cats named Kit Kat? If I had a cat, I would name that cat Kit Kat. Now I'm thinking of chocolate again, which is perfect because I'm talking to Laura Secord's cousin, Karen Secord. Really, it's true. All right, so our executive director of the Parkdale Food Center says, and I concur, that food banking is a sign that we failed society, especially when we have two of our leaders from Ontario and from Canada, Justin Trudeau and Doug Ford, going out saying, hey, go to a food bank. Hey, look at us helping food banks. Well, why don't you help the people who actually need it so we don't have to rely upon food banks and we don't have to rely upon people like Laura Secord's cousin, Karen? What have you been doing? Because your model seems like something that is cheaper than running food banks, I would say, and cheaper than having mouths go hungry. And why aren't our governments doing this?
Well, yeah. So in a response to COVID within a week, I mean, we run a food bank, but we are really interested in social justice. So we run quite a few programs, and we moved ourselves into a community health center, Somerset West Community Health Center. We have two chefs on staff and a full commercial kitchen. So when COVID started and everything was shut down, you know, we reached out to our food partners. And, you know, although they were shut down, they didn't want to stop cooking. And so we started out with Bread by Us. Jess there said, you know, I'm going to put out a GoFundMe and I'm going to see if I can raise $2,000 to keep my baker baking bread. And within a week, she had $17,000. But at the same time, Chris DeRoche, the incredible chef from Wellington Gastropub, said, listen, Karen, I'm gonna make you 1,000 liters of soup, and I'm going to freeze it. I have room here. And so then we had this wonderful sourdough bread and soup. And we started to bring on more businesses. And we run the Ottawa Community Food Partnership, and we also run Food Rescue in Ottawa for Second Harvest in Toronto. So I went to, within a week, I went to the Ottawa Community Foundation, and I told them, I have an idea. All the meal programs in Ottawa have been shut down. And for people that make $733 a month and live in rooming houses, for example, they count on the meal programs to eat. They don't buy groceries because they don't have any money to buy groceries. Mr. Ford, if you are listening to this, they don't have any money to buy food. And they don't often have any place to cook their food. So they rely on these meal programs, but the meal programs got closed down. So we started making food, and the social service agencies started delivering it. We call this program Cooking for a Cause Ottawa. We are now paying 14 restaurants across the city to make food for 23 social service agencies. We're making 4,000 meals a week. And so it is a holistic partnership where the restaurants are being paid. So we may be paying the 25% extra from the emergency wage supplement. We pay some operation costs. We pay for all the food and the containers. We pay the transportation. It costs us $3 to $3.50 a meal, and that includes everything, transportation, staff salaries, food, containers. And people are getting incredible food. For example, Urban Element, 5 days a week, makes 500 meals. Those beautiful meals go hot to Somerset West Community Health Center, picks them up. They bring them to the Harm Reduction Services. The people at Harm Reduction Services are getting beautiful hot meals 5 days a week. And what is happening? What's been reported is that people's wounds are healing better. There's less escalations. They are not using the services of doctors and nurses as much. And that people are reporting that they're gaining weight back to what they were before they started using drugs. So they're feeling better. Today, Urban Element has their staff gone in to make Thanksgiving meals for everyone, because most of the Thanksgiving meals have been canceled. And so this is happening now all across the city. However, I have had to literally beg for money to keep this program going, like literally. If it weren't for the city of Ottawa helping us, we would have had to close down. None of our 14 restaurants have had to close up. They're not making money, but they're able to stay solvent. We could bring more restaurants on. This is scalable, and it could be replicated across Ontario and across the country. However, I have not been able to, as much as I've tried, I have not been able to talk to Catherine McKenna about it. It's only been the city. I've talked to Joel Harden, and he's done everything to be able to talk to the province about it. We could be saving some of these restaurants by giving them work to do with their doors closed. They could be doing what they do best, which is cook. And we could be giving out fresh meals that we freeze. And we have given the opportunity for many of our partners to buy extra freezers to be able to store these meals. So we just need money.
So we could be saving some of these restaurants where the very people who own them, who run them, who work in them could end up being the very people who have to resort to food banks or measures like what you're doing, Karen. We could be saving these restaurants by having them cook to help the people who need to eat.
Yeah, we absolutely. And what's happening is that what the restaurant owners and the chefs are saying is that the work is meaningful to them, and because, you know, people who cook, they want to cook. There's a reason why they do it. They don't make a lot of money. But what I saw right away is that we have assets in this community. We leverage the assets. These commercial kitchens are worth a lot of money. The skills that people have who work in these kitchens, they have incredible skills, and we should be leveraging that at a time right now. So when the nurses from Somerset West Community Health Center, for example, when they put 7 meals together that Red Apron has made and donated, they donated right away 1,000 meals for over 10 days. They've now done well over 6,000 meals for us. They haven't charged us a penny. When they put every Thursday 7 meals together in a bag and they go off and they go right to the door of an isolated senior, they're not just delivering those meals. They're actually doing a wellness check, right? And so it's not just any delivery person. It is a trained outreach worker or a nurse who's doing it. So they're also saying to Mary, how are you, Mary? They're having a peek in her apartment to make sure everything looks okay, because she can't get out and she shouldn't be coming out. We told her, don't come into your apartment.
Stay in there, Mary. Stay in there.
Right. But somebody's checking on her. So we just sent you some pictures to put on your website. And there are like 4 pictures on there of Anne Viljean from Somerset West checking in on some seniors. We had a photographer follow those nurses to see, you know, what exactly was happening with the meals. So every Thursday they can count on getting some soup from Krista Roche and some really lovely meals from the Red Apron.
Karen, we're up against the news, so I want to have you back so we can extend this conversation. If people want to help you, though, right now, what can they do?
They can go to Parkdale Food Center, and they can donate under Canada Helps Cooking for a Cause Ottawa.
And I want you to let me know what transpires over the next couple of weeks, because this is, with all of this despair, we do have a lot of opportunity, like you said, with these businesses, with these restaurants that could now help to feed our community where the government is failing. And it's a win-win. People are getting healthier. People are getting health checks. People get to stay in business. We won't have as many people needing food banks. When are you going to be Prime Minister, Karen Secord?
I'm too impatient and I'm too rude.
You are too much what we need. This is the problem. You know what? If you were Prime Minister, you probably wouldn't be able to get anything done. And this way you can continue to use your powers for good. Karen Secord, she's the Executive Director of Parkdale Food Center. If Laura Secord were alive, she wouldn't be saying, this is Laura Secord's cousin, Karen. She'd be saying, I'm Karen Secord's cousin. Look at me. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Please follow up with me. Corey will give you my email, because we only have your phone number right now, but Corey will give you my email. Michael Wood, I want to thank him for getting the two of us connected, because he said that you are a gold mine and a gem and I need to speak with you. So thank you so much, Karen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for starting my day off wonderfully.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you. And we're going to continue Goods Day, because we are going to continue to restore your faith in humanity. A special Thanksgiving surprise before the end of the show. Another great chef doing great things. He's coming up next, 10 a.m., 5 degrees, up to 11, and sun. I'm Dahlia. This is The Goods on 580 CFRA.